What's up, everyone? You are now listening to This Moment, the transatlantic bridge between Stockholm, Sweden, and Harlem, New York City. Marcus, what is up, my brother?
Wow, man, what a year. It kind of feels weird, like this epic 2020 is actually coming to an end. But we need some plug, we need a pause, man.
I know, man. It's been a rough year.
Been one that our grandkids gonna talk about. But it was also good stuff that happened. And I think that, you know, what do we do with that? Biden won. Kamala is right now there. She's there, which means that there is a grab and go for 24, where we can have the first Black female president in 2024, right? Black Lives Matter movement. There's so much positive under all this negative.
And this week, Marcus and I break down our highs and lows of 2020, starting in 3, 2, 1.
Boom! You know, I remember the event that I thought would be this year defining event was like, you know, America, the sports world and beyond went through. You know, I remember how I felt that morning, that Sunday morning when Kobe died. You know, it was such a tragic event, and it was early in the year, and I'm like, that was a big, big deal. It still is a big deal.
Kobe, Chadwick Boseman, the notorious RGB, John Lewis, all the world events, you know, the wars in Ethiopia, Armenia, the uprisings in Nigeria, the Iran nuclear deal went to shit, the Black Lives Matter, the global Black Lives Matter movement, the pandemic, the wildfires. Mm-hmm. Remember the wildfires, the record 6% of Australia's landmass mm-hmm. was on fire.
And can I just say that the wildfires were going on throughout the year? You know, it's one of these things in the West Coast in America, they were going on throughout the year. And it's one of these stories that on a normal year would be probably the biggest story of the year. Because think about it, it's the earth telling us that, you know, global warming is happening. We have to pull back. We have to think about how we consume and how we engage differently. So the wildfires, I feel like, has not actually been written about and talked about enough because of all
no,
of these things.
Because of everything else that went down. The election, the impeachment of the sitting president, the first non-English speaking film came in to sweep the Oscars. I mean, there was so much.
But think about that, right? When you talk about Parasite and you talk about the impeachment, I don't even remember. I mean, the impeachment should have been.
This is all before the pandemic.
Yes, this is all before the pandemic. And, you know, in my life, being a soccer lover fanatic, the fact that Maradona died, like, so you have Kobe in the sports world, and then you have Maradona dying. And, you know, it's an election year, of course, but still.
But also, Marcus, in those first couple of months, right, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, but really it's when we see the film, the murder of George Floyd, that it just takes everything to the next level. And I remember talking to you at the outset, you know, early June, Marcus, right after the killing of George Floyd.
You know, I've never seen anything like it, right? We are kind of like dulled down now. We've seen so many videos where we know that we just accept the fact that police harass a Black man, what's gonna happen? Like, I remember when I saw the very first one at Rodney King, it's probably the one in my, you know, being a young adult, seeing that, I was like, whoa. And it was shocking to me, right? And we don't have videos of Emmett Till's, you know? So this is a modern version of what we can watch, you know? And we are all dealing with this in a different way, right? Because it didn't stop with George Floyd, but that was really, you know, Breonna Taylor, like you said about, sorry, there's no video of that. But that summer of 2020, right, I think I think there's a combination of where we land, where we are. It's a combination of COVID, but it's also a combination of the protest, Black Lives Matters, and that's how we end up. I do think the election would not have flipped without those two things combined.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
But election aside for a second, all of us are processing, how do I take this energy and walk into 21, right? And we've all had personal gains and losses. Most of them are in the anonymous space, but, you know, I've dealt with one of my family members had cancer, dealt with that, came out of cancer in 20. So that for that person, it was a joy, you know. One a big tragedy to me that I'm still dealing with and going back and forth on is this war in Ethiopia, right? Like in the mornings, my wife called Ethiopia. Sometimes the call doesn't get through. Sometimes internet's cut off. But we were able to connect, and, you know, this is something we're probably going to do an episode about it and get a little bit more information.
We have to, because I know it hit really, really close to home. I mean,
yeah.
It's your home country. It's your wife's home country. It's one of Zion's home countries.
Yeah, and it's a place where I feel like we've taken pride in on coexisting, tribal coexisting, religious, spiritual coexisting, and take so much pride on not being colonized. And that energy is still in Ethiopia. So for us to go through a war that it just, with everything that happens, with people dying and people have to be refugees, and we were on such a positive track. So I just hope that, A, yes, we're going to do an episode about it, but B, that peace will just prevail and, you know, we got to come together. But so I just say that because 2021 is this year where we constantly just push and pull. If something really positive is happening, can I celebrate it? And I say yes. Celebrate it because you've earned it. You've been part, just the fact that you walked through this summer, celebrate it, scream it from the top of the mountain, whatever that success is, that happy moment, because we get bombarded with negativity. So we have to be able to celebrate each
other. We have
to
find joy.
Yes.
Joy is our only fuel to carry us over this. And also, if one takeaway from that, from this year, that's it. You know, we can strive and reach for something better.
This moment.
For me personally, I was really excited because in February, I went to New York. I went to Harlem. On February 24th, I did my first performance, kicking off the A Drop of Midnight US tour at Ginny's. And we had a great night. You know, I did excerpts from the show, and, you know, all these world events that had happened, they were, you know, I wasn't really thinking about that. March 1st, my book dropped, which was huge for me. So A Drop of Midnight was published in English, in all English speaking territories in the world. That was huge. I still had a firm belief at that point that 2020 was this year of clear vision, of a symmetry, of circles closing and things coming together.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel everything that you said, like we're only 6 weeks into the year when you talk about this, which is kind of like unbelievable.
It's mind blowing.
And I had similar, I mean, I knew that I had to finish the Rise this year and we dropped it in October. But that first quarter is really when we were supposed to finish the book. And we were also supposed to open a restaurant in Miami. I'm sitting in a restaurant in Miami right now in this gorgeous room.
It's beautiful. I see the leopard. There's like leopard wallpaper behind Marcus with red framing around it and artwork hanging in the back. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, no. And that was the way we wanted to divide up this year was opening Miami in first, second quarter, and then drop the book in October. And that so, but both things, I had to close the book, didn't close the book because of the pandemic and didn't open the restaurant. Tried to open the restaurant in June again, did that, had to close because of the pandemic again.
Taking it back to the first wave, March, you know, you were actually the one, I remember calling you on March 12th. I was in Chicago. You know, the virus had spread to the United States. There were pockets in LA. There was, it was mostly in Washington state that it was going on at the point, but it was popping up around the country. And I was still thinking that, you know, I'm going to have my big premiere on March 30th. I'm flying back to New York tomorrow. And I called you up and I was like, Marcus, you know, because my partner and daughter were supposed to come on the 16th. They were supposed to land in New York City. And I was like, is that the smart thing to do to bring them over here now? What if we get stuck? What, you know, all the what ifs. I call you up and we had spoken just the day before and things were more or less as usual. And you were just like, no, Jason, you need to cancel everything. You need to go home. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I've been planning this for a long time. I'm not just going to go home. You're like, you need to cancel everything and just go home. My other friend, my dear friend, Trisha Wong said the same thing, like cancel everything, go home. And I didn't want to really take it in, but landing in New York the next day. And I remember sitting in the, sitting at Red Rooster at the bar eating with Rakim. And you stepped in with this grim look on your face and was just like, I just had to, you know, I just had to lay off my entire staff in Miami.
Here you know, in Miami, where I'm
in
right
Miami.
Now.
And the next day I was on that plane back, canceled everything.
Just describe to me for a second that plane ride, because at that point, like how was it? Because you got one of the last seats.
Last seat on the last plane from Newark Airport to Stockholm. I think I was in some form of shock because I'd spent a year and a half, Marcus, really hustling to get find a publisher that would believe in this, you know, unknown guy from, you know, Afro-Swedish guy who had written a book, you know, and found that in Gabby and the team at and Elizabeth and the team at Amazon Crossings. And I had spent a long time planning with Harlem Stage, with Monique and James of the premiere and with Rakim and Gloria and the band. So I was in a state of grief, you know, over the fact that, you know, I had planned for so long to be in the States. I wasn't sure I was going to really go back to Sweden. I mean, I knew I had, you know, I still had my stuff back in Sweden, but I really saw this as my first step in kind of taking my work to the United States for real and starting that path. So I was in it was a period of grieving.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about, I want to go back to that March 15, that date, because it's so much unknown, right? We know now that what happened almost like month by month, week by week, but it was so much unknown. And for me to close Red Rooster and turn it into Community Kitchen, now I know what that means and look like. But back then, no one had gloves, no one had masks, but World Central Kitchen had masks and gloves. And just we started to hand out food and we started to get, you know, 400 people a day started to come through. But also the people that my team that I did it with, the team of World Central Kitchen, but also the same people that showed up, came through every day. The conversations that we had, the looks, I will never forget that. And I will never, you know, for me, Red Rooster right then and there really in synced itself what a restaurant could be at the biggest crisis. But then it wasn't just serving, coming home, dropping, it's like a routine, dropping my clothes off in a bag, putting them in the washer and dryer, showering, not want to hug my son before I've done all those things, right? And you know, he's a kid, he's just coming at you, running.
He's gonna come running at you. Yeah.
And like not, you know, like avoiding him until like, you know, it's like a half an hour routine you could just gotta do, right? Still not sure and never forgiving yourself if you brought it home. But it's once again, it could also be brought home by my wife going to Whole Foods or something like that, right? Standing in those long lines, you know, and then laying off people, furloughing people. Like my crew here in Miami, I'm so emotional being here, right? All the work that went into it, all the staff members that signed up for this, and as their leader, failing. You know, being a chef, Jason, is also about people believe in you, not just the customers. Your staff, your band leader, if you can go on tour, you know, that drummer's going to look side-eyed on you, like, Jason, what's up? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the same thing, you know, here.
Yeah, you absolutely.
Know? And so I can't wait. I know it's not a visual thing, but I'm going to give you a visual tour of the restaurant.
I can't wait to get there, man.
Yeah, because it's one of those things that, you know, Miami, obviously, the climate is different, so we have... The reason why we can stay open is because it's an outdoor patio. All of this gorgeous restaurant with the most incredible art from Derek Adams, Fiesta, Gates, and so on is indoor, but it's really an outdoor restaurant at this point. And
you're in the Caribbean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're in the Caribbean, bro.
On the second floor of Red Rooster Overtown, looking out at this tropical city, staring at the tamarind tree, that has been here for 100 years in Overtown. Overtown used to be the entertainment center of Miami. I'm staring at Harlem Square, the place where Sam Cooke did one of his best live albums ever. We actually took over Clyde's Pool Hall, an iconic pool hall here in Miami that Muhammad Ali used to go to, Sammy Davis. All the black stars from the 50s and 60s came here. And the fact that right now that we have Red Rooster in this historical building, in this historical African-American neighborhood, makes it so special. The stop and start, not even COVID could stop us. I'm so proud that we open.
This moment.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design
thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You just did your first online concert, right? I've started to do cooking classes online, right? You and I did a cooking class online together in Stockholm. So, you know, we both, this is also an opportunity to learn and reposition yourself. Like, the first time I did a cooking class online, I was just like, you know, normally both you and I are based on getting energy back from an audience, from somebody talking back to us. I was just doing this class in front of the laptop and I'm like, who's out there? So it was kind of weird. But once you have got over it, and you just did your first concert. So tell us about it.
Yeah, it's, you know, during the first wave and in the spring, that was also a beautiful thing, you know, via Instagram and Zoom and all these different social media platforms. All of a sudden we were invited into people's homes. You know, we saw Stevie Wonder play the piano and sing a Bill Withers song from his home. You know, we didn't see a lot of the home, but yet and still it was cool. You know, I got to see a lot of my old heroes, you know, rappers from the 90s, sitting at home telling old stories and anecdotes. You know, got to Erykah Badu did these lives from her home in Texas, and it was so. I think I was still a little shell shocked during the spring, so doing a concert at that time was not something I could really to say it. I had put off doing a concert digitally because I wasn't sure how it was going to be. You know, then the second wave came and I felt like, but now's the time. You know, I linked up with Mats Leo and Musa, this great jazz band, Masaka Trio, and Daniela Ratana, this fabulous singer from Stockholm. And we went on stage and there's nothing but cameras around us, no audience. And I was thinking that, well, what this gives me the chance to do is to look straight into the camera, i.e. look straight into the eyes of whoever's on the other side of that screen. And, it, you know, we had about 2,000 people watching. If I was at a regular concert, I could look, you know, one person at a time in the eyes, but I have to capture everyone, right? This way I can play just for you. There's no sound other than the sound we make, which was really interesting. So we played the first song, and then when the song ended, you know, just it went back to just being quiet, which was a weird feeling because you're used to playing for that kind of instant reciprocity and the applause and the reactions. But at the same time, the reactions from the crowd, of course, are giving you energy, and that's the energy you give back to the crowd, and they give you more, and then that's this give and there's this give and give situation going on. And it was really nice. It was very laid back. I think it was more, I call myself Timbuktu when I'm on stage. I think this was more Jason than Timbuktu.
Well, good for you.
You know?
And that is, I think that this silver lining is that you're figuring it out. I'm figuring it out. I maybe done like 10 different cooking classes now online, and each one gets a little better, but it is, you know, you talk about a back and forth with the audience. It happens in cooking too, because we cook, and very often people cook with me, and something might happen, you know, they might have a different pan, or, you know, sometimes it's just people want to ask something. So yeah, it's hella strange when you just stare into something, but it's also I'm going to evolve. And I try to look at everything like, I'm in mid-career. How often do you have an opportunity to change completely, right?
That's what you mean, and possibility.
That's a possibility, right? Okay, I'm accepting this now. And from here on, and your audience, my audience, behavior in many ways have changed. So, you know, for someone like yourself, it might be like a hybrid next year. You might tour a little bit, and you might do a couple of these pop-ups, Zooms, you know, so that's a hybrid.
We're definitely going to keep doing it. I mean, you would never do a cooking class online if you didn't have to, I can imagine.
I've never been asked and never thought about it. And this year was the time that happened.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, because you had no choice.
And I'm telling you, there's all these things coming out of this that, again, we're in a new territory, right? And I'm not saying all of these going to stick, but I'm also excited about, okay, people are thinking about how to engage with food, how to be social in a different way. And at the same time, Jason, all my colleagues and friends are closing their restaurant. The generational wealth of knowledge, what's going to happen to these incredible, if you're 21 and you just want to learn from a classic chef, where are you going to go? And this is not just happening in the U.S. This is happening worldwide, right? So that knowledge and generational wealth that is passed down from a sous chef to a line cook, I'm not saying it's going to go away. It's just going to go into a different space. Will that go online? Well, guess what? There's only so much you can learn online. So I'm thinking about my industry from so many different aspects. What's going to happen, right?
And well, Marcus, sorry.
No, I just mean that I don't have the answers to that, but in six months from now, I want to report back to you saying like, hey, it's heading in this direction. And I had no clue, but this is what's happening, Jason.
But it's so interesting that you bring that up, because that's one thing that the pandemic in 2020 really taught us in the most, you know, painful and kind of clear ways, is that prior to March 12th for you and I, right? I thought I was going to do my performance, and then I was going to do X, Y, and Z, right? I could see the road ahead of me, and like, these are things that I planned, ergo they're going to happen because I'm going to work towards them happening. All of a sudden, March 15th, 3 days later, everything is uncertain, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I did an interview with a 20-year-old guy. His name is Ali. He came from Afghanistan as a 16-year-old. He told me the whole story. I asked him one question. I said, how did you end up in Sweden? His answer was 2 hours long. What I realized hearing him speak was like, okay, this uncertainty of, will there be a tomorrow? Will there be a next week? Will there be a next month? What will be left? So many people, and you know, even maybe a majority of people on this planet have been going through that for a long time, and that's their everyday. And this is now what we are going into the next year with. We don't know exactly what's going to happen in 21. I don't know. Will I be able to do concerts? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. How will you be able to, and when you'll be able to open your restaurants? Who knows? I mean, it's also showed us this year, Marcus, the privilege that we have and that we've managed to kind of attain in life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I said it was strong enough. One of the biggest joys has been to launch the book, The Rise. Not just to launch the book, but the collective as Black chefs. You know, I speak to my colleagues and friends, and before we texted and we communicated and we did pop-ups, but the book is really become a collective for us, and we connect and we do more work together. And so, you know, yes, the output that we put out in the book and the classes that we're doing, but I'm speaking to my friend Eduardo, you know, when I needed help from my friend Greg Godet that came on our show, you know, we're talking, Aisha and I cooking together, and the list goes on and on and on. So it's been, you know, as we talked about, celebrate, that's been such a joy, you know.
And can we just celebrate the fact, Marcus, that it was selected as one of the top 10 books in the United States?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah,
no, top 10 books, like, of all books, right?
It's been an amazing, been an amazing, amazing
President
ride.
Obama's book and your book.
Yeah.
And you could be like, yeah, all right, a president, you know, yeah, we're both top 10, you know.
Yeah.
That is incredible, a cookbook.
No, it's been the journey on it. It's been amazing. And to be able to have, you know, the youngest member in the team, Patricia is 17 when we started the book. She's 20 now. And, you know, to the oldest member with Miss Leah Chase, 96, when she passed. But just everybody in between. And for us, and what's going to come out of it. So hold on, everyone out there. I know this has been an up and down year. But hold on to those good memories.
Kanye West ran for president, man.
No, we're not talking about that.
But so
no, we didn't. You know, let me have a positive image of my man Kanye. Why you gotta ruin it for me? Let me love his music.
I still love his music. I am able to both love his music and really be just amazed, right? Just amazed.
Because you're more involved. You're more involved than me.
But there is so much more to unpack about this year. So we're going to have to come back with a part two, everyone out there. But I really think landing back in what you said, Marcus, in you know, celebrating, finding joy, and taking the moment before this year becomes the old year and we pass into the new year.
I want everybody to take a second to think about all the good things that 20 gave us as well, right? Just close for a second, because we get bombarded or think about all the negative things that are right in front. Take a moment and just give gratitude and thanks.
Find the goodness,
you know? And I know we're not out of this. We're still in the middle of it, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. But take a second, because it's that level of positivity that's going to be kind of like kick yourself in to 2021.
There's new research out this morning that suggests there has been a record drop in greenhouse gases worldwide, largely because of COVID-19.
Tonight, that team of four astronauts, three Americans and one Japanese, almost to the International Space Station.
Three, two, one.
NASA renaming its headquarters in Washington, D.C., after Mary W. Jackson, the agency's first African-American female engineer. Jackson, who died back in 2005, was among the significant figures in NASA history, was instrumental in getting American astronauts into space.
Breakthrough in the battle against COVID, a vaccine developed by Pfizer and BioNTech has shown a 90% efficacy rate in a trial with more than 43,000 participants.
America's bent the arc of the moral universe more toward justice. Kamala, Doug, like it or not, your family.
No matter who you voted for, I will strive to be a vice president like Joe was to President Obama. Loyal, honest, and prepared.
I know 2020 was one for the record book, and it was a tough one, but that means that 2021 is going to be amazing, fantastic. Right now, I'm in my restaurant at Red Rooster, Miami, and the fact that we finally opened, closed, the fact that we opened, pushed through, it's a sign. 2021 is going to be amazing. From my mouth to your ears, from Jason, Jared, and myself, from this moment, thank you for listening, and happy Merry New Year.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.